Next session, we will share testimonies. So you will get to share your own personal testimony, and it's going to take like so. You will all come here, and you will share before the class your testimony in one or 2 minutes at most. So we shall. In this session, we shall talk about how to share your testimony, and then you'll get a little bit of time to write down your personal testimony, and then we will take each one of you, and you'll share before the class your testimony, and you can do the same in Kenya. You can after this session, then you write down your personal testimony, and then you share before the class over there, each one. But don't be lengthy. It can only be 1 to 2 minutes, your testimony. All right? Good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to share your words, and we pray that you will inspire us as we study your word and help us to understand how to share our testimony for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to begin by quoting SDA Commentary 6, page 1091. Ellen White says, "A testimony from the heart, coming from lips, in which is no guile, full of faith and humble trust, though given by a stammering tongue, is accounted of God as precious as gold." Now that's an amazing quote, I find. Even though we feel like, oh, I'm saying it from a stammering tongue, but if we have it, if it comes from the heart, if it is true, it is a power for good. You know, your personal testimony is so powerful because nobody else can argue against it. If you bring arguments, if you bring the reasons for your faith in the sense that you say that, oh, the Bible says this or the Bible says that, people can start arguing and say, no, it doesn't say that, and no, it doesn't do that. But when you share your personal testimony, nobody can come and say, no, you didn't experience that, right? Because that's what we experienced. That's what God did in our lives. And so the other person cannot judge it. So your personal testimony is something very powerful that we need to use. So we talked last time about the shirt. And do you remember what it stands for, the shirt? What did S stand for?
Self.
Self? Is it myself or yeah, themselves, right? H, home. I, interest. R, religion, and then T is testimony. So that's when you share your testimony. Because when you ask them about their religion, and then they talk about their religion, eventually they might ask you about your faith. And that is the opportunity to share your testimony. Don't start telling people about a church, you know? Don't start telling people about, well, I'm a seventh the Adventist, and we keep the Seventh-day Sabbath. We believe that the soul sleeps when they are dead, and we believe in 1844. You know, that's not your testimony. When they ask you about your faith, you share what Christ has done for you, and that is what we will talk about. There will be time for doctrines later on if they want to study the Bible, but at that moment when you're in social contact with people, that's not the opportunity to share doctrines, unless they really, you know, ask specific things. But you need to pray for guidance on that. Your testimony. What is a testimony? Well, your testimony is basically how you got to know Jesus. And in a testimony, you need to answer. Or you don't need to, but you should think about at least to answer these questions. How has being a Christian made a difference in my life? So you can share how your life was before and then when you became a Christian, how has that changed your life? And then what does it mean to be a Christian? That's also important. You don't just tell people like, oh, you know, to be a Christian means to do this, and that's not what I mean. But, you know, when they listen to your testimony, you should include that somehow in your testimony. Like, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be a follower of Jesus. It means to have a relationship with Jesus, basically. And then, why would I like my friend to be a Christian? Of course, we don't say that, you know, God changed my life and therefore I want you to be a Christian. But, you know, you show the benefits of being a Christian. And then if you present it that way, that will be enticing for your friend to be a Christian. How would a person become a Christian? That's also important. So you just share how you became a Christian, and in that way they will learn how they can also become a Christian. For example, when I share my testimony, I share that I found the Bible I liked, you know, science. So I studied science, and I liked things to be very logical, and I felt the Bible was not logical at all. Until I started to study the creation evolution debate. And that actually convinced me that the Bible is trustworthy. And after that, I also found the prophecies of the Bible, which even more confirmed in my mind that the Bible can be trusted. But it didn't really change my life until I got to know Jesus. Until I got to surrender my life to Jesus, and that's what I did. And he started to change my life, and in just half a year, my life was completely changed. That which I used to love, I didn't like anymore. That which I used to hate, I started loving. My life got a complete change, and I got a new meaning in life. I got new hope. I got new joy that I hadn't experienced before. And so something like that I would say when I share my testimony, so that a person would know how to become a Christian also. Now, there are three kinds of testimonies. Two are the most usual ones. First it is the you testimony. The conversion testimony. And of course, this means that you've been walking on the road, you've been serving Satan, you've been following sin, and then you had a turn, like a radical change, and you walked the other direction. Can you think of a person in the Bible that had that kind of testimony? Yeah? Paul? All right. He was persecuting Christians, and then he received a conversion like that. We have other examples also, but that's one type of testimony. And sometimes we think that's the only testimony. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't doing this and that, and then my life was completely changed, so I don't have a testimony. That's not true. There are other kinds of testimonies also that are just as powerful. The why testimony is basically a testimony of somebody who grew up a Christian, who loved the Lord, and then they made their decision. They had a choice to go either away from into the world or to follow Jesus, and they followed. They decided to follow Jesus, and then you share why you decided to do that, why you decided to continue in that, and what that means to your life. So you don't need to be lost in order to be saved. That's a misconception that, oh, I have to go out in the world and do all these kinds of crazy things, and then I can come and have a real testimony. You don't have to do that. The I testimony is not very common. But I actually found someone that had it, and that was a person that has grown up as a believer, but they have not yet made a decision for baptism or for Christ. They can still share what Christ means to them, but they might not have gotten to the why. The why is a little bit farther ahead in their life. So, but even those people can share their testimony and what why they like Jesus and why they love Jesus and what he's doing for them. So you can think about which category your testimony will be in. And if you have a conversion testimony, then you share, as it says on your handout, it says different conversion experiences on page 2. How was your life before you met Jesus? And then the second one is, how did you meet Jesus? And then the third question you want to answer is, how is life after you met Jesus? So these three aspects is what you share. So this, and then how what changed, and how your life is afterwards. Can you think about a person who had a continual walk with God in the Bible, who had that kind of testimony? Like they didn't go out in the world and live the crazy life.
Enoch,
right? He had a powerful testimony still. Another person? Jesus? Did he have a testimony? But he wasn't going out sinning, you know? But still, his testimony changed the world. So we don't need to think that, oh, I need to have a crazy story in order to have a powerful testimony.
To me, when I look at a why, it talks about a person who grew up in a Christian family, went and tasted the world and came back and went to Christ. And
really? Yeah, it could be.
The I is, to me, the I talks about Christ. But they've always had a straight life.
It could be. You think one who did like that?
I know of other people who grew up in a Christian home and they never had a wild conversion story, but they always loved God and always, as long as they know it.
Mm-hmm. I think that most people, though, they come before a decision. Like they need to take a stance. They've grown up in the church, they've learned these things, but then they need to make their own decision. Like, I want to continue on that road.
That's why there are different types of conversion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can put it that way if you like. Like that this was someone that went out and came back, yes.
Can you say some more words to the I testimony that the Kenyans would like to know more about it?
Yeah, the I testimony, at least what I pictured, was someone that had not made a decision yet. But okay, my friend here is bringing out a good point, and you can view it that way, which is maybe simpler to understand. You can have the U testimony as being the conversion. The Y testimony is the person that has gone out, grew up a Christian, gone out to taste the world, and then come back and went on the right road. Like, for example, the prodigal son. He knew where to go. If you think about the sheep, the sheep that was lost, it didn't know where to go, right? So it had more like this kind of story. But an eye testimony would then be someone who has grown up a Christian and has continued to be a strong Christian for their entire life, like Jesus. So does that make sense? I know I changed it now.
David,
but
or Joseph.
Yeah. Samuel. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for that. Do they have more questions? No. Okay. So, I have some pointers when you share your testimony. Some commandments. Well, not commandments, but at least tips. Don't be wordy. Don't be wordy. You need to tithe your information. You can't share everything that there is to share. keep your testimony short, 1 to 3 minutes, but try to do it in 2 minutes. Because people don't like to listen for a long time and you tell your whole life story. No. You need to tell a short, powerful, concise story of what happened in your life and why you're a Christian and why you love Jesus. Avoid the language of Canaan. Now, what's the language of Canaan? Does anyone of you speak the language of Canaan? Well, it's an expression sometimes used to... It says, avoid expressions that unbelievers find difficult to understand. You know? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
You mean the new Canaan, New Jerusalem? That was like Canaan as in...
No, I mean the new Canaan. The heavenly Canaan, the heavenly language. Well, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 9 says this, or somebody else can read it.
So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the ear.
So when we utter words, we should utter words that are easy to be understood, right? Correct? And when we share our testimony with someone who is not a Christian or someone who is not really into the lingo of the Christian world, don't use any of these expressions like, when I got saved, you know, or at the foot of the cross, or by the blood of the Lamb, I was saved at the foot of the cross, and I was justified in Jesus and sanctified by His grace. These are weird terms that people will look at you and they'll be like, huh? What are you talking about? So use very simple language that is easy to be understood. Otherwise, you'll just be speaking into thin air. Okay? So, I don't even talk about conversion to really so much. I just talk about change in my life, you know, because that's something people can relate to. My life was changed. So, number three, don't glamorize sin. Don't glamorize sin. We need to emphasize what Jesus has done for us, rather than what we have done for the devil. We need to call sin by its right name. Sometimes if we talk about, you know, I was really bad and I was doing all of these things and it was really fun, you know, we don't say that because that's we might think it was fun, but it's not fulfilling in the end. And people need to understand that sin is nothing that will bring joy. Don't glamorize sin. Be careful not to list sacrifices. In 1 Timothy 6 and 6, it says that godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to be content. We need to be happy Christians. So there was one time I was sitting together with Don and with some other people in Malmö. We were invited by a priest from the Lutheran Church, and he had a big, he called it a meeting across the borders kind of talk with lots of different religions. So he had invited us to come and talk from the Adventist Church, and he had a Mormon there, he had an atheist there, he had two Muslims there, and and then some other free church groups. So we were all sitting there, and then we would present our faith for each other, and we were supposed to talk about faith. So the Mormon, he said, all right, I can start to share about what we believe. Well, as a Mormon, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't have sex before marriage, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this and this and this and that. And yeah, that's kind of what we believe. Okay? And then it was the next person's turn. It was a Muslim, and he was saying, "Yeah, you know, as a Muslim, it's a lot of it is similar to the Mormons. We don't eat pork. We don't drink alcohol. We don't smoke. We don't have sex before marriage. We don't do this. We don't do that. We don't do that." And I was thinking in my mind, what's this atheist going to think? Do you think he's going to be attracted to their religion? Like, oh wow, if I become a Muslim, I cannot do any of these things. If I become a Mormon, I can't do any of these things. Like, they're listing sacrifices. So don't list sacrifices to people. Don't tell them that, oh, I had to give up this, and then I had to give up that, and then I had to stop doing this. And, you know, that's going to be scary. Because people will start counting the cost, and they'll say, I'll never want to be a Christian, if that's what it takes. So when it was our turn, we didn't share that. We just shared what Jesus had done for us. So, of course, do not argue, DNA. Just some more quotes here, just so that this is thoroughly implanted in your mind. Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish dispute, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Okay, they don't bring results. Evangelism, page 303. When opposed, you will be in danger of retaliating in a sharp, debative manner, if you are not constantly softened and subdued by the contemplation of Christ, and have a heart to pray, be thou my pattern. Love must be the prevailing element in all our work. So this is important. We need to love people. We need to not argue and debate with them, but show love towards them, and that will melt hearts, that will change people, and they will actually come closer to the truth. So we think that if I could just find the right arguments and throw in their head, then they will be converted. But that's not how it works. It is love. Love is the power that can change and transform hearts. Do not be shocked. Don tells a story of going to have a Bible study with a person, and he knocked on this person's door, and the person, this woman, came out without a single piece of clothing on her. And he was thinking in his mind just this: do not be shocked, do not be shocked, do not be shocked. And he was saying, maybe you should come back. He was like, hi, maybe I should come back another day. You know, not being shocked. Why should we not be shocked? Well, Ministry of Healing, page 163, says, it was a continual pain to Christ to be brought into contact with the enemy, depravity. Sorry, in contact with enmity, depravity, and impurity. But never did he utter one expression to show that his sensibilities were shocked or his refined tastes offended. Whatever the evil habits, the strong prejudices, or the overbearing passions of human beings, he met them all with pitying tenderness. As we partake of his Spirit, we shall regard all men as brethren, with similar temptations and trials, often falling and struggling to rise again, battling with discouragements and difficulties, craving sympathy and help. Then we shall meet them in such a way as to not discourage or repel them, but awaken hope in their hearts. This is what we need to do. I was studying with a lady, and we studied about baptism. And this lady, she was saying that, or I was asking her if she had received Jesus into her heart. And she was saying that, yeah, I have. And I asked her, is there anything that would keep you from being baptized? And she was thinking about this, and she was saying, I'd like to think about it some more. So I asked her, is there something that's making you hesitant, or what is it that makes you hesitant about this decision? And she said, well, I don't think I can quit drinking, she said. And this is, we had been studying, and I wasn't being shocked when she was saying this. I didn't know that she was doing it. But if I had been like, oh, you're drinking? then that would be being shocked. Jesus was never shocked like that. So I don't do that. Whatever they say, even if they say the most horrible things, sometimes they do that just to test your reactions. And if you get shocked and you're like, oh, how could you do that? Or something like that, that is going to repel them. That is not Christ's spirit. So never be shocked. No matter what a person does, right in front of you. Maybe they take out a cigarette and they blow in your face, you know? Just smile, be happy, don't be shocked. And instead, I was telling this woman that, you know, have you tried to quit drinking? And because obviously she wanted to quit, and so she said, yeah, but it's hard. And then I said, so who do you need? Whose help do you need to stop drinking? And she just shown up, and she just said, Jesus. And I was like, right, that's right. And the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say you can do all things except stop drinking through Christ who strengthens you. So I wanted to give her hope. And she was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. We don't want to discourage or repel them, but to awaken hope in their hearts. Number 8, be enthusiastic and cheerful. When you share your testimony, don't share it in a boring way. Don't share it in a gloomy way. Adventist Home, page 428, we should never give the world the false impression that Christians are gloomy, unhappy people. So, when we share our testimony and we share about Jesus, let them know. Let your face know that you love Jesus and show it to them. Be happy. Be enthusiastic. In proportion to the enthusiasm and perseverance with which the work is carried forward, will the success be given. So this is important to be enthusiastic also as you share these things. Always be kind and sympathetic, and then pray that they will see Jesus, because that's our goal. We want to share Jesus. We pray that they will actually see what Jesus means and what he can do in their lives as well. So, and then also one more thing before we break up into our groups. After you share your testimony, after you've gone through the shirt, and then you share your testimony, the next step is to try to lead into a Bible study, or try to, if there's an opportunity, you know. And I think this is very, it is possible to do so. I was sitting in a restaurant, you know, the restaurant where we work in Vasa. And I was sitting with a meal there. And then something very strange happened that never happens in Finland. There was a young guy that walked up to me and said, can I sit at the same table? And I almost fell off my chair, because I was like, well, people in Finland, they're not very social, and they don't just go to strangers and say, can I sit here? So I was like, sure. And we started talking. I went through the shirt. And I also shared my testimony. And then I told him, you know, it would be really great if, because he seemed quite interested in what I was saying. And then I said, you know, if you'd like to, I can share with you some of the reasons why the Bible changed my life. Some of the things from the Bible that actually changed my life. Would you be interested in hearing that? And he was like, yeah, that would be great. And I said, well, why don't we meet next week and we'll do that. And so that's what we did. And we started to study the Bible just after having one talk. So it is a powerful thing if we can learn to lead people into the Bible in some way or another. You might not always be able to lead them into a personal Bible study, but you can share some book or some tracts, or encourage the person to read the Bible, just point them to the Bible, to some kind of follow-up. There was another lady that I was, or there was another person, a lady that I was, that actually came to one of our health expos, and she was so amazed by this, and she was so happy. So she wanted to study, or she wanted to spend time with us. And so I talked to her about the Bible, and this woman was very sharp. She was very intelligent. So she could argue everything, and then after a time, we talked a little bit, and I just told her that, well, you know, I started sharing my testimony, that this is what changed my life. And she didn't argue with that, because she couldn't argue with that. But then I asked her, you know, is there some time that would you like to meet, and I can share with you what is so great about the Bible? She said, yeah. And so we started to study the Bible. And this agnostic or atheistic woman, she was touched by the Spirit of God as we studied Daniel 2. And she was like, whoa, this is amazing. And she even got a bit frightened, she got frightened to understand that maybe her worldview wasn't actually the true one. And this was a very scary thing to her. And so she was a bit, but she was very touched by it. I mean, you can see from going to arguing to just receiving the word and just being touched by the Holy Spirit. So always try to invite to Bible studies when you have a talk, if there is an opportunity. So now you will share your testimony. So you can write down your testimony. That's the first thing that you'll do. And remember, it will be only 1 to 2 minutes. So choose your words carefully. So you write it down on a piece of paper, and then in maybe 10 minutes, hopefully you'll be done. And then we can take turns, and you can all share your testimony.